Eagles Entertainment.
Welcome, Eagles everywhere, to the Eagles Insider Podcast, presented by Lincoln Financial Group. I'm Eagles Insider Dave Spadaro. At the NovaCare Complex on this Tuesday, the Eagles now with a full week of preparation. Must seem like a month, right? Given everything that happened in this last week, and what an extraordinary week it was. Two games in 5 days, both wins. Nick Sirianni contracting COVID, coaching virtually. The Eagles with some injuries. To put it all together, to beat two NFC East teams, to now put themselves in position where they control their playoff destiny, truly a remarkable week for the Philadelphia Eagles. The Eagles now 8-7, as you know, and wins over Washington and Dallas would put the Eagles in the postseason. So this is a great spot for the Eagles to be in. And given everything, after 2-5 point in the season where you go, all right, well, what's up with this team? To now be 8-7, to have three number one draft picks next year, oh yeah, the future is very bright for this team. The present is what matters, and that will be the focus of this Eagles Insider podcast. A little later on, the voice of the Philadelphia Eagles, Merrill Reese, will join me here. But first, as we do every week when there aren't two games in 5 days, we have a one-on-one exclusively with head coach Nick Sirianni. Interesting questions, interesting answers, a lot going on with this one. Take a listen, one-on-one with head coach Nick. We welcome you to our weekly one-on-one with head coach Nick Sirianni. I'm Eagles insider Dave Spadaro. Coach, congratulations on coming through an extraordinary week. Two wins in 5 days, the virus circulating, you coach virtually for a few days. You know, you talked about leadership and allowing you to overcome adversity. And I wonder, leadership is not on your five core principles. So where does leadership rank in terms of just building a program? And how does leadership develop on a football team?
I think leadership, you know, really starts, you know, obviously with myself and the leaders on the team, right? And that there's no secret that we have great leaders on this football team. We have guys that have been here for 10 plus years, 8 plus years, guys that have been in the NFL 8 plus years. And, you know, they've won a lot of football games here, and they know what it takes, and they know what it is to win and to lead in this league. And so when you got good leaders on the team like we do, and I'll single out, you know, Jason Kelsey and Fletcher Cox and Rodney McLeod and Brandon Graham and Alex Singleton and Jalen Hurts, right? And I'm just singling out our captains right now. When you got great leadership like that, you can make it through rocky times, because there's going to be rocky times in the NFL. And so there's no secret. We got great leaders and great teammates here in those six guys that help lead this football team.
You referenced Kelsey and what he said to the team before the Giants game. Does that kind of event happen organically? What was his message? Do you encourage players to share their feelings with the group?
The last four games, I've been on staffs that have had the captains talk. You know, usually that's division games, and I think it's important at that point in the year for sure. It's always important that you hear the captains talk and the leaders talk, because that's who leads this football team. But I think it's a great opportunity for them to get in front of the team on Saturday night. Listen, I've been talking for 12 weeks. They've heard my message, and they've heard it over and over and over again, different ways of saying it, but over and over and over again. So I love when the captains get up there and talk and see how passionate they are to talk. And, you know, Jason had a great message on Saturday night to get our guys ready. You know, he just talked about adversity and being able to press on through adversity. And I'll just kind of keep it at that. But, you know, you could just – the emotion and the intensity and his – you know, his delivery was awesome. Rodney did a great job the week before. Right now we're 2-0 when the captains talk, so maybe we got to do this more. Fletch will talk this week, and so looking forward to hearing him talk. But it's just great hearing the captains talk and delivering their message.
Nick, there's reality here, and the reality is this team is 8-7, and as the playoff picture develops here, the Eagles are in the playoff picture at number 7 in the playoff position. How do you view it? How do you kind of view it and address it with the team?
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of things out there, and this is kind of just coming from different different people. One of my best friends in the world, who I grew up with, is an Eagles fan. He grew up an Eagles fan. And so he's constantly texting me. He's like, hey, if this happens and then this happens and then that happens, we get in. And I'll always text him back. I'll be like, but it requires us winning, right? And he said, yeah, of course. That's all we can control, right? That's all we can control is winning. And what we need to do to put ourselves in position to win that week. And so that's the message, and that's what we talk about. We don't think about anything else except how we're going to go 1-0 this week. How do we go 1-0 this week? By having very detailed meetings, by being full speed to the snap on walkthrough, and having high intensity at practice. And when you do those things, you put yourself in a level where you're getting a little bit better each day. You put yourself in position to go 1-0 this week. And that's all we're concerned about, not worried about who we play next, not worried about what another team can do for us or we can do for it doesn't matter. Because every scenario that needs to happen is you have to win first. And that's all we can control, so that's all we're worried about.
It's interesting you use the phrase full speed in walkthrough, because that leads into my next question about offense. And offense requires timing and precision and practice. And you're also trying to rest guys with walkthroughs and trying to save their bodies. So how tough is it to stay sharp offensively, not just for you, but for every team, and at the same time, not tax the guys too much at practice
late
in the season?
There's definitely a fine line, because you need both. I think that's a great question, Dave, because you need both. You need that timing. You need the execution piece. But what you learn in this league, and when you have good veteran players and when you have good leaders, again, that know how to practice, is you can find ways to still get a lot of those things while walking through, right? And when we talk about walking through full speed to the snap, your mind's still working the same way. You're visualizing things the same way. Everything's coming up the same way. You're just not doing it at full speed because you're going through walkthrough. So I think that's an important part of, how you get better late in the year, right? Because I think every team's in this scenario right now where you got it, you're coming off a game and you got to give guys time to rest and get going. And we've played, 15 games right now. And the guy's body's got to get right, because if they're not ready, if their bodies aren't right for Sunday, you're going to be behind the eight ball anyway. So, you learn how to do these things throughout the year of how you practice, how you practice and how important practice is, but while also getting your body ready to go for the next game.
Nick, it was interesting on Sunday against the Giants. It wasn't the running game rampage that we've seen in the previous 2 months. New York did a good job of limiting the run game at times. So you had to win kind of in a different way offensively. How valuable is that for this team in the big picture, that when the run game isn't just dominating and crushing people, you're still moving the football and putting points up?
I think good teams find ways to win different ways, right? Whether that is, you don't get the 185, 200 yards rushing, but you do it through the pass game, right? Or, hey, it's 3-3 at the end of the first half because your defense played its tail off, right? Or, and then the second half begins, they get a turnover just to start, and so the offense can go down and score. That's how good teams find ways to win. Or, it's a big punt return by your special teams to set up a score, right? Those are all things that good teams find out different ways to win. And that's where we're headed, is to being a good team and finding those different ways to win. So I like that. I like when you have to find, obviously you always want your first plan to work and go as planned, but sometimes it doesn't, right? There's a lot of good teams in this league, and that's a good defense in New York. And so it was just a different way to win, and we'll take it.
Coach, last question. All season you've talked about dog mentality, 1% better. All through the growing pains early in the season.
Now rent is due.
What's that? Rent is due.
Right. Okay. Same way of saying that.
Same thing. Has that served the team well? Now we're in the final two games of the regular season. Everybody knows what's at stake. Has your team achieved that mentality that you want?
I think so. And the team achieves that mentality. Obviously, I bring it up. When we talk about it, but why does the team achieve that mentality? Because we got great leaders on this football team, and it's not dog mentality, rents due, getting 1% better every day. That's not something that's like world renowned new learning for them. Like we all know that to be true, And so, you know, when it's just something that's simple and you kind of, I kind of like that I have a coaching point that they know what I'm going to say before I say it, right? That's a good, that to me, that's always been good coaching when you can do that. And so, again, you know, when you have the leaders that we have on this football team, that believe it and to be able to go out and execute that each day, I think that's a good thing. And I think that's what we've been, throughout the year.
Well, then I'm going to double down on what I know to be true and end the interview right now. Our weekly one-on-one with head coach Nick Sirianni, presented by Wawa. Thanks so much, coach. Good luck against the Washington football team, week 17 of this NFL regular season 2021. Thanks, coach. Good luck on Sunday.
Thanks, Dave.
We move now to the voice of the Eagles, Merrill Reese. We have checked in with Merrill throughout the season. You know that he loves Devontae Smith. You know that he loves Jalen Hurts. And you know that he shared some of the same concerns we all shared at various points in this season. Now, how does it look for the Eagles? Let's find out. Merrill Reese, talking Eagles, heading into Washington, week 17 of this 18-week 2021 NFL season.
Merrill, I don't know. It's kind of hard to believe that we are in week 17 already, game 16, and here the Eagles are at 8-7. How would you kind of describe the journey of this season?
It's been remarkable. It really has been. I was optimistic going into the season with some of the things I saw and some of the personnel that I was watching on a day in and day out basis. And then they hit a roadblock and things kind of sputtered for a while. But they regained their equilibrium. Nick Sirianni did a great job of keeping this team upbeat and together. And from there, they began to grow. And here we are having them win 6 of the last 8 games and really in position to nail down a playoff spot.
Let's start with Nick. What has he shown you in a first year that has not been easy? A lot of injuries and adversity at 2-5 and COVID. And, you know, he catches COVID 2 games in 5 days, having to work in a bunch of new personnel. I mean, I know that he's not going to be the coach of the year, but as far as a first-year performance, as the coaches that I've been around, Merrill, it really, to this point, ranks right up there among the very best.
You're absolutely right. He has been very, very impressive. The two words that come to my mind are indomitable spirit. If you look at Nick, he never showed the misfortune and the things that were going wrong. He seemed even all the time. He met with adversity, he met with success, and he stayed even. Just the way going, when you bring up the word playoffs to him, he'll say that's okay for the outside world. We're talking about let's win one in a row. And he has stayed very, very true to that throughout the season. You get the feeling that the players respond to him very well. He has a lot of spirit. He has a lot of fight. And I think it's very, very contagious to everybody on the roster.
And he's also changed his offensive approach. And we've talked about that. Coaches haven't always done that. I mean, Merrill, that is such a big deal. And then we see against the Giants where the run game wasn't as dominant. And Jalen Hurts, look, the defense took the football away, which is great. But the Eagles had to win with Jalen and his arm. And Jalen got it done.
He did. See, I think one of the biggest misconceptions among the public, among some members of the media, is that Jalen Hurts has modest arm talent. I don't believe that for a single second. He's got a very strong arm, and that is not measured by how far you can throw the football. That's measured by the velocity with which you throw the ball on that 20-yard out pattern. I think there was one play in Sunday's game that demonstrated that more than any other, and that was the sideline pass to Jalen Reagor, where he had coverage in front of him, behind him. He zipped that ball. Hurts zipped that ball in no time flat on a rope, and he beat the defense and hit the bullseye right in the hands of Jalen Reagor. That shows so much of quarterback. There's not a lot of quarterbacks who can make that throw. That's the kind of throw that would make that Aaron Rodgers would be proud of. Now, I'm not going so far as to call Jalen Hurts Aaron Rodgers, but I'm saying that is the thing the talented quarterbacks can do. That's the thing You can teach a lot of things, but a lot of quarterbacks don't have the ability to do that. The reaction, the moment that he fired the ball right to Devontae Smith at the goal line, that was great timing. And of course, a great play by Devontae Smith. And the way he put the ball in position where Quez Watkins on a bomb could go up and get it. So he has a lot more arm talent than people have given him credit for.
Merrill, is this offensive line one of the better offensive lines you've seen in your years with the Philadelphia Eagles?
Absolutely. Absolutely. They have had to substitute at guard a couple of times, but the anchors of that line, Jason Kelce, Lane Johnson, and Jordan Mailata, have remained in play, and they are playing at a very, very high level. And, of course, the guys who have come in, Landon Dickerson is getting better each week, and Nate Herbig has done well. So it's a very, very fine offensive line, maybe the best in football.
So is the defense much improved, Merrill, or is it kind of a product of the teams that the Eagles are seeing, or is it a little bit of both?
I think time will tell, but they're definitely improved. How good they are, we'll find out as we go into a game against the Cowboys at the end of the season, assuming the Cowboys play their first unit. Against the better competition, we'll see just how much they've improved. But you can't complain about the defense recently. They have been very, very stingy in the point department.
All right, Merrill, here we are. Washington on Sunday, the second time in 2 weeks. It's very difficult to beat a team in that time span twice. What do you make of Washington after watching them on Sunday night, watching them the previous Tuesday, going into this game on Sunday at FedEx Field?
Well, number one, they're going to have Taylor Heinicke, and that's a big improvement over Garrett Gilbert, who had just been picked up a few days off of the practice squad and put on their 53-man roster. And it's a lot different. Taylor Heinicke can be a very effective quarterback. I've seen him play very well at times. The team, the Washington football team, is coming off an absolutely horrendous performance. And it was not only a bad performance, it was an embarrassing performance where some of their players were swinging at each other on the sideline. I will tell you this, a team like that often looks like it's ready to fold. They're out of it. The season's almost over. But I know Ron Rivera, their coach, well, very, very well. And he's going to be reading them the riot act all week. I honestly believe this is going to be a very tough competitive from beginning to end.
I agree. I think the defense will play much better against the Eagles. Do you think that the Eagles can run the ball effectively no matter what here? I mean, is that kind of, if you're Nick, are you dialing up a lot of the run game against Washington?
Yeah, I'm always going to start with the run game, not necessarily in order. For example, if they put everybody in the box, you may end up throwing the first four or five passes. But this basically is a run-first offense, and we just saw the other day the way that they are able to switch gears and go through air too. You do what it takes to win. But I think the Eagles can run with success against this team, even if without Miles Sanders. The Eagles are fortunate that they've got depth in that area.
So let's talk about something, Merrill. How do you think it plays out on Sunday against the Washington football team?
As I said, I think it's a tough game. I think it's a tough game, but I like the way Jalen Hurts has taken command of this football team. You know what I like best? He can make a bad throw. He can make a bad, but he shakes it off. He doesn't crumble. He doesn't dig himself into a hole. He is a very, very even quarterback and has a high ceiling, and his team really responds to him. He has leadership, and he displays that throughout the entire game. I think the Eagles come away victorious. I do, but I'm not without a work.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it's a great tool right now to see how a young quarterback in this moment where they control their playoff destiny, how he responds to that pressure. My sense, Merrill, and tell me if you agree, that, I mean, he's been playing in big games his whole life, that this won't faze him in any way.
No, it won't. It won't. He won't get ahead of himself. He remains on an even keel. He is not shaky. He is not shaky in the least, and he really looks for an opportunity like this. This is what he thrives on, And I think he's going to have his best game of the season. I really do.
Merrill Reese, thank you so much. We'll be looking forward to hearing you at 1 o'clock on Sunday, you and Mike, Eagles at Washington, part two.
And that will do it for this episode of the Eagles Insider Podcast presented by Lincoln Financial Group. I'm Dave Spadaro, Eagles Insider. We'll be back later in the week as we really dig into this game. The Washington football team coming off an embarrassing loss to Dallas on Sunday night. They will be tough on Sunday at FedEx Field. Thanks to Peter Kelly, Julie McLaughlin, Ray Doyle for their work here. Thanks to all of you for joining us each and every episode. If you have a moment to give us a review, we've got the link in the details section of your podcast library. Thanks, everyone. It's the Eagles Insider Podcast presented by Lincoln Financial Group. I'm Dave Spadaro. Have yourselves a great Eagles day. Fly, Eagles, fly, and go Birds!
EAGLES! Eagles!